4. Start right there in Job 4 and then 5 and look at some things tonight. I want to actually preach on you what to do when trouble comes. Right? Well, we know trouble's coming, but what do you do when the trouble comes? Amen. Let's see. Job 4, and you look there at verse 1, Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, and then I want to run over here to chapter 5. This is still Eliphaz talking here, verse 7. Notice what he says, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward, right? All right, Father, thank you for your mercies tonight. We appreciate everyone coming out, Lord, and making the effort, and I pray you'd bless your words tonight. Speak to them, Lord, to give them what they need to hear. Lord, we thank you for the words that you've given us. They're pure words, Lord, and that we have them right here with us. And Lord, we pray that you, the Holy Spirit of God, might speak to each and every heart in their need, and we'll give you the praise and the glory for it. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. All right, so this first guy here speaking is Eliphaz. And so since I kind of would call him the ringleader of this thing right here, the ones of the three that persecute Job, he's the first one that speaks up here. You realize you can then take some of what he says with a grain of salt, all right, what he's accusing Job of in these things. But I believe what he says here is right in Job chapter 5, verse 7. We often quote that verse many times, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Wouldn't you agree that that's right? We're just born into running into that stuff all the time. Now, I want you to take just a few things here, and let's look at Psalm chapter 9. Just a few more verses here. So you understand it's the Bible has that down to Psalm 9. Look at verse 9. Notice what he says. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Look at Psalm 10. Verse 1, why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? Look at chapter 46, Psalm 46, and verse 1. Psalm 46, 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, folks. David was familiar with that, and he wrote many, many times that Psalms. And it's just something that's very well said. Eliphaz said, yet man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. All right. That's the way life is down here, folks. If you take into account all the different forms of that word trouble, if you take it like trials and, you know, tribulations and troubles, there's at least over 160 sometimes the Bible's going to address that. It's a universal theme. I want to say that it winds its way through the Word of God. As you read from Genesis to Revelation, when we're thinking about trouble and troubles and tribulations and trials, man, it just winds all the way through the Word of God. It's in the front, in the back, it's packed with stories, right? This book here has got story after and records of men and women who go through all kinds of trouble. And they get into that trouble, and then, you know what? The God is who they've trusted to get them out of that trouble is there, right? It's all through the Word of God. We know that suffering comes. We know that there's trouble for even, you know, the saved. Those that have been born again. Our history of the United States has been one of, you know, thank God we've had some great liberty. We've had great freedom. Tonight we don't have to fear about coming to church, right? Now, I don't know how things are going to go in the future. That could change any time. Who knows? Other Christians have gone through that, right? Other Christians have suffered and been persecuted and all those kind of things going through there. But thank God what he is there with us when we go through our troubles, all right? It doesn't mean that we are not going to have any trials or troubles in America. I mean, we sure may. There's a lot of things that we still may face. What we have been facing mainly in Laodicea, folks, is that lukewarmness, right? That kind of trial there that you're going to have to face every day in Laodicea, that's a danger for us till the Lord returns. So this thing here, what I'm going to talk about is what to do when trouble comes, right? What to do. You may have your You may already have your plans all laid out when trouble comes, what to do. I just want to give you a few things from the Bible, what may help in that. Now, it can be personal troubles like cancer or bankruptcies or heart-breaking loss. It could be a lot of broader things. Maybe we're talking about, you know, wars, diseases, you know, crop failures, just troubles altogether, whatever. The fact is, when I think about that, I like to think about, you know, I believe, folks, that we're close to the time of the Lord Jesus Christ coming back. I just think he's coming back, and I'm sure Christians through all the ages and thinking, surely the Lord's coming back. He's coming back. You know, you look at this and he's got to be coming back. If it's going to be another 30 years, I hate to say something like that, till the Lord comes back, then some of us are not going to see it. I don't think I'm going to make it for another 30 years, right? But can I tell you, somebody is going to see. Somebody's going to be here when the Lord returns. Believers, they're going to see it. But I personally hope and believe to see that coming, right? The Lord Jesus Christ coming back. Now, if that's the case, what follows is, folks, is, you know, as time goes on and we get later and later in the age here, then you are, and we're going to be really seeing some weird stuff going on, right? Of course, when you get to the back of the Bible and you get toward those epistles, those general epistles in Revelation, you got some weird stuff going on, right? So the closer we get to the Lord's coming back, the more we're going to see some things going on. And I believe more troubles, right? More troubles is going to be coming on that stuff along the way. It's just the signs of the times, right? So these are some things that are be going on. So what you need is you need to get your mindset. Right, we have to keep the right mindset in this thing, and so you're not just in denial. I know I've got a friend; he's a believer. I believe he's saved. He's in Colorado. He's going through a whole lot of trouble, and he said, "Well, I just don't see. You know, I don't believe the Lord's going to let his bride, you know, get all beat up down here. You know, I mean, why ain't the Lord coming back?" I'm saying, brother, you don't know much about history. You know, God's saints, the bride, have been persecuted and hunted down and everything else all through history. You're not wanted in this world, right? The world doesn't love you on this kind of thing. So that's, you get the mindset, you get that thing, so you don't just curl up like a little roly-poly bug, you know, and think it ain't happening. Yeah, it's happening, all right? So the point is, folks, is you want to be in a place where, and I say that, you know, okay, Lord, this is what, I'm here at this time, right? There's a reason I'm here right now, and you've called me to go through this, so you know what, Lord, give me grace to go through it, right? Just give me grace. Help me to get through it. Now, you don't have to like it, right? I mean, do you think the martyrs, you think those who've been persecuted down through time in the first century and things, you think they enjoyed that? Well, no, I don't think they did. I think they had to kind of buck up. They had to get the mindset, you know, of where they were, and take a deep breath. Do you ever have to do that? Okay, Lord, and I'm going to move forward, right? And Lord, help me and give me grace to go on. So I want to say, what do you do in trouble? Well, first of all, I want to say this. You need to take account of your treasures, right? Take account of your treasures, right? You know what has been given you if you're saved, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. You are in Christ Jesus. You've been given some treasures, right? You've got some real treasures, folks. If you're saved, you can say, you know what? I'm in Christ, and Christ is in me. I'm complete in him. I've been baptized in the body of Christ by his Spirit. I'm sealed. Right? I'm sealed. I've been spiritually circumcised. I'm redeemed. I'm adopted. I'm justified. I'm sanctified. And folks, a bunch of other things that you got, I didn't even really realize and know half the stuff that I got, you know, on that. I've been placed in Christ's death, his burial, his resurrection. I'm implanted with him and all that. Can I tell you, my standing in Christ is irrevocable. It's never going to change. I'm in him and he's in me. It cannot be violated by any power on earth. Now, folks, that's a good treasure. You got that treasure if you're saved, amen? So you got to count your blessings going through those things, right? And if you know, folks, if you knew tonight that the Russians, we'll take that because that's a current event, right? If the Russians were coming down your street, right, and they're coming towards your house, if you knew that, can I tell you, you'd probably go straight to your house and check out your safe where your guns and ammo is. Or maybe you just check out, make sure your money's there and hit the trail real quick or something. I don't know, that kind of stuff. But can I tell you, well, when you do that spiritually, when trouble starts coming, you're going to check and see what you got, right? You're safe. You got those things. If trouble's coming, I tell you, you examine yourself, right? You examine yourself. You make sure that you're in the faith. You get inventory of your treasures, of what you've got and what's real. If you're saved, then you just take a deep breath, right? And you say, okay, Lord, I can't do anything about this. You know, I'm going to go through this thing. No way around it, right? When that trouble comes, sometimes you can't get around that stuff, and you take account of your treasures, right? And I say, that's something real important you ought to examine. If you're in here tonight and you're not saved, if you've never been born again, can I tell you, you're in trouble, right? You might not even make it home tonight. You know, I'm going to tell you on that kind of stuff. If you're lost, you can't even count on making it down out of the church here. All right, you are messing with the most valuable thing, that the precious thing you got every moment you live without Jesus Christ. You might go to hell, right, on that thing. So there's not a, I'm going to say, some folks aren't ready for trouble, right? You can't be ready for trouble if you're not saved. If you are saved, you know, can I tell you this? The Lord will sustain you, right? We know that. You know what David prayed? I slept and the Lord sustained me, right? He's counting on the Lord keeping him through all that. The Lord decides if you're going to wake up or not, okay? If you're not saved, your goose is cooked. So you need to get saved if you're not, all right? So the point here is, number one, you need to confirm your treasures, right? You know the Lord Jesus Christ, right? You got what he's given you in him that can't be taken away. You can take a look at that. Secondly, I want you to take a look at 1 Chronicles 16. Take a look back over here at 1 Chronicles 16. Notice something else. 1 Chronicles 16:11, all right? That's a real good verse, ain't it? Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. All right. Next thing to do when trouble comes is you need to personally seek God's face. Personally seek God's face. It needs to be personal. Now, thank God for public worship, right? I mean, thank the Lord. That's a great thing. But you need to personally seek God. Okay. And seek his face in that. When trouble comes, you may want to call a lawyer. You may need to call your banker. All right. You may need to call the doctor when trouble comes. But what you need to do, I want to say first, is seek God's face. Seek God's face. You may wish to get up in the morning, you know, when you're going to turn on the internet, turn on the news or something like that, and check out how bad it's going to be today. Right? But what you need is to seek God's face first. Amen. His voice is the first voice you need to hear. Amen. When you wake up, can I say your voice is the first that he should hear? Right? That's just something you seek. It's a personal thing. It's with you and God. You need to personally seek God's face. You remember in Egypt, you know, can I tell you, Joseph, he didn't have Facebook. He couldn't Google anything to find out, you know, how to get out of this mess that he's in. He couldn't do those kind of things. There's no, you know what they say, BFF, you know, to lay your burdens on or anything like that. Nobody except for God. And you know what he did? He learned to walk with God. And you need to learn to walk with God in a personal way, seeking God's face. It may be the trouble that comes in your life, bankruptcy. It may be cancer. It may be divorce. There's a whole lot of different things when we're talking about trouble coming, right? Besides just COVID on that stuff, but you need to personally seek him. Can I say this? Job, he was left basically to himself, although God wasn't really that far from him. When you're talking about what he was surrounded with those friends. They were not really so good friends. But he had nowhere to turn to, no one to listen to him on that. But can I tell you, God heard him. Amen. God heard him and God answered. And in the end, he found God's face. Right? He found God's face. He walked with him. Jeremiah was in the pit. Now, there was no hope in the world, folks. Jeremiah had down there in that pit all alone. Yeah, can I tell you, it was the Lord that heard him. All right? The Lord heard him. The Lord's the one that brought him out. Don't let God get lost in all the clutter when the trouble comes. Because when trouble comes, it's just like there's all these other voices and there's all these other noises and problems and stuff that come around. And sometimes, you know what? God can get lost in that stuff. And you don't want to let God get lost. You want to seek him first. Amen. Don't forget the Lord is first. You say, well, what's the point? You need to seek God's face. When you do that, it changes the whole game, right? And you just going in your own way through this trouble, trying to get through the quagmire and stuff like that. When you put God first and you seek him, it can change the game. What you need to do, what really helps is personalizing the promises that are in this book. Say, that's God, that's for me. If you're just going through there and Lord, it just comes out right there and God gives you that thing and you can get a hold of that and say, thank you, God. Right? I mean, you can pray those things, preach them, preach the word of God to yourself many times. And folks, there's some things that'll help you in that trouble. Confirm your treasures, right? Confirm what you got, that you're saved and that you know him and all the things he's given you on that. You got some stuff nobody can take from you. The government might come along and take your money. Might take your house, might take your things, folks, steal everything you got, but it's not going to get your salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ is never going to leave you nor forsake you. Amen. You still got him, and personally seek God's face. All right, third, I want you to take your Bibles and look at 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel 12. And look at verse 23. 1 Samuel 12, 23. And just notice what he says here, this is Samuel. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord, ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. All right, so now on this, I want to say, folks, that Israel in the context, they had went and chosen the wrong king, right? If you read back through that thing right there, and of course, Samuel's not happy about that. He got real upset with him and stuff. But in verse 23, you know what you read there, Samuel? He conceded anyway. You know, he says, okay, you guys have messed up. Man, you've picked the wrong king. You've messed up. But you know what? I'm still going to teach you the good and the right way. So they got off track, right? They chose the wrong king. They need to get back on the right track and the right way. And he said, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to keep teaching you good and right way. So can I tell you this, another thing that you need to keep up with that when trouble comes is you need to do the right thing. Keep doing the right thing when trouble comes. Okay. That's obvious, right? Do right. I like what Bob Jones Sr. used to say. He said, do right till the stars fall. Right. Just keep doing right. Amen. Don't do the wrong thing. Don't do the wrong thing. You know what goes on. Real pressure can be brought on, folks, in times of trials, right? When you're under the stress, man, you're under that thing, boy, you better watch out. I mean, you're going to have some problems. It's easy to make bad decisions, right, when the troubles come and the trials comes and that. And you need to get a hold of God. You need to seek his face, and you need to keep doing right. Do what's right in those things, right? I like they have those acronyms sometimes. You hear those things, you see them. The problem is I keep forgetting what each letter stands for. Right? HALT, H-A-L-T. Anybody ever hear that one, right? HALT is, you know, before you make decision. Don't make decisions, H. Boy, I'll tell you, and I've already forgot it. I'm sunk. My goose is cooked on that kind of stuff. Let's see, H-A-L-T, I had it, somebody's going to have to remind me. Don't make mistakes, folks, decisions, man, in what? What, hate? Haste. Now that'll go. I don't know if that was the right one. Haste. Don't make decisions when you're alone or when you're lonely. Don't make mistakes. I'll tell you, H-A-L-T. So we'll talk about that later, amen. Some of those things, there's times when you don't need to make decisions under pressure, all right? Thank God, Samuel tells them, okay, you blew it, right? But I'm not going to sin against God and ceasing to pray for you. I'm going to keep on praying. I will teach you the good and the right way. Folks, any way is not going to do it. Right? You got to have the good and the right way on that thing. The first thing that, you know, what usually comes to my mind is usually not the right thing. If I come in problems and troubles, the first thing that I want to do is not going to be probably what the Lord would have me to do, okay, on that kind of thing. So you pray about that thing. You seek God in that. You need to do the right thing. First, you know, I'm going to say if you were doing wrong and trouble comes, well, you need to repent and turn around and start doing right when trouble comes. If you're on the right road and trouble comes, and many times it does on that thing, well, it's no time to change roads, right? You keep on doing right, doing the right thing. You need to keep doing right. The right things, though, many times, you know what they are? They're not convenient things. They're not easy things. The right things you're going to find is not the popular things. It's not the standard operating procedure of the world. Right? When trouble comes, you know, you might have a friend, so-called son, say, hey, you know, I got an easy way for you to get out of this. You better not just take the easy way out. Okay? You got to do the right thing. And Paul, he had to fight the good fight of faith. He told us to. He had to buck up and do the right thing when it comes down to something as simple as that many times, right? But boy, it sure is difficult, right? All flesh is as grass. And a lot of times those places, sometimes you're just going to have to do the right thing, when you don't want to. Abraham, right? He, I'm sure, folks, when the Lord told him, Abraham, I want you to take your son up to that Mount Moriah there, and I want you to offer him up for sacrificing. I tell you what, I bet you he wasn't hop, skipping, and jumping up that hill. I believe he was broken, man. I believe, boy, he was hurting on the way up there. He's walking up that hill of a broken old man. He's not knowing what God's doing, all right? He's had the promise there, and then God tells him to do that. But he did the right thing. He went ahead and did right. The Lord Jesus Christ, can I say, he was broken in the garden. He had just been finished in 40 days and 40 nights. And folks, he was a man. He was all man and he's all God. I realize that, but he still was all human, right? He was a man, but he did right. He said, not my will, but thine. You done? Amen? And then Job, what do you think about Job? Losing 10 kids, right? Losing his wife there and everything he had. You think it was easy to do right? I know Job had a struggle. He sure did on those kind of stuff. He had some problems there going through, but he never sinned with his lips. It said he kept on that. He did the right thing in the end. Doing right takes courage. I realize that. It takes a whole lot of courage sometimes to do right when everybody else is doing wrong. Okay, and when that trouble comes, so you confirm your treasures. You personally seek God. You put him first, and then you do the right thing. Then next, why don't you take your Bibles and look at Numbers, chapter 14 and 15, Numbers. And let's see, look here at Numbers 14. Look here at verse 30, first of all. Numbers 14, 30. All right, notice what he says here. Doubtless, he's talking to the children of Israel, you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. And then look over at Numbers 15:2. Go down here in the next chapter here, verse 15, 1 and 2. Notice what the Lord says here. He spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be come into the land of your habitations, which I give unto you. Now, boy, that sure seems like a contradictory type thing there, all right? So Israel, back there in 14, they're in trouble, right? They went into the land, chapter 14, but what happened is they saw the giants, right? And they saw those giants. They said, well, we can't do it. There's no way we can go in there and take the land. You know, they saw how good the land was, but those giants just, you know, stood in their way. They couldn't get over that thing there. So we know what happened there. The Lord got mad, didn't he? And he said, man, I'm just going to take that crew out. I'm going to take them in the wilderness, and I'm going to let their carcasses fall down in there in that wilderness. Boy, I'll tell you, pretty rough, right? One by one. And you know, he said, your kids, the ones that you were worried about not being able to make it over and all that kind of stuff, they're the ones I'm going to bring over, but they're going to have to spend 40 years in that wilderness, bearing your whoredoms and what you did there. Now, you know, and then you come to chapter 15, and you read there about the Lord telling them, tell the children of Israel when they come into the land, you know, what they're going to do in this, you know. So, I mean, what does he mean? What's he talking about there? Can I tell you, for them and for us on this, the Lord intends for you and I to go on, right? Yeah, those kids had to bear some stuff going through there, but he had some things there, and he said what he wanted them to do is they're going to have to go on, right? They're going to enter in there, and they're going to on. So I want to say, and when trouble comes, you do right, you do the right thing, and then I want to say here, then you do the next thing, right? That's just you need to do the next thing, not just do the right thing. You got to do the next thing. Doing the next thing, all right? If you read all the heroes in the book of Hebrews, right? Book of Hebrews, you know, that's exactly what they did. No matter whether they had their good days or their bad days, they just had to get up and they had to do the next thing. You know, and if you can't get through the next thing, man, you are in trouble. Right? You're going to be stuck. It's what you will be asked to do when trouble comes. Right? When that thing comes in there. I want to say the natural response for you and I when trouble comes and when anybody else is just to lay back down and not to go forward. Right? You're just going to stay right there. You're going to quit. A lot of Christians stop. A lot of Christians quit church. They quit reading their Bible. They quit trying to pray. Folks, that's what saints do sometimes when they're not careful. Can I tell you, it's still just one step at a time, right? It's just one second at a time. Sometimes it's just a moment by moment, day in, day out thing, you know, shovel in, shovel out. You just do the next thing. You know, some folks say, well, preacher, what happens if someone in my family dies that I love? Well, okay, you got to call a mortician. Okay, you get the details together. You do the next thing. You get one thing after another, hour by hour. You get some sleep if you can, right? You get up in the morning, you do the next thing. You have to go to the funeral. You're going to have to get to the cemetery. You're going to spend time grieving. All right, you're doing the next thing. You get up in the morning, you eat breakfast, you do the next thing, and eventually, can I tell you, after you keep doing the next thing, you're going to come out of the tunnel, and life is going to get better, right? You just got to do the next thing. You do the right thing. The point is, do the next thing. Let me ask you, are you sick? Well, what do you do? Well, I think Brother Hoffman tells you, you know, go the natural route, right? First you pray, you seek God, and then you take some natural remedies and stuff. I know he gets on that stuff, right? Okay, well, if those don't work, what do you do? Go to the doctor. Right? You can go to the doctor, take the medicine, right? Then the next thing, rest, right? If that don't go on, maybe sometimes you gotta have a surgery. Okay, you go to surgery, then you go to rehab. We say, what's all that? That's just doing the next thing. All right? You get stronger, you take the next thing. The Lord says, arise and let us be going. Okay? You gotta do the right thing, and then you gotta do the next thing. Folks, that's just life. And when trouble comes, you gotta take that order and do those steps, or you're gonna end up messed up, right? You'll end up back yonder. Look at something else. Romans chapter 8, and I'm sure you're familiar with that. Romans 8:28, right? We'll just read that. What to do when trouble comes. Romans 8:28. Notice what he says here, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. All right. Is God still God? He is. Amen. No doubt. I'm going to say this. Even in troubled times, you know, God is still God. Even in the bad times that we call there, I don't see a vacancy sign on the throne in my troubles. All right. God's still on there. When you read verse 28, you know, God is, he is still there. Amen. God is God. You realize that even though the news around the world and in America and stuff like that, CNN and the news bunch, they're going to pitch their fits. Right? They're going to set their hair on fire to get your attention, do whatever they can. But can I tell you, your God did not die in all that they're saying and what they're doing, okay? And all that happens, I guess, when the question comes in, when all those troubles are coming into you and all that kind of stuff, I guess the question would be, do you accept the troubles as the will of God? Right? Can God bring you troubles and still be right? Yeah, he can, right? He's going to be God, right? Can I tell you, Job didn't like his circumstances, right? He didn't like those circumstances, but I believe this about Job. I believe he knew, he knew it was God that allowed them all the way through. Now, he sent the devil to do the things like that, but folks, it was God who gave the devil authority to allow that, okay? And he knew that. Those things happen, and you know, those things that happen to us, good and bad, when you get to Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, right? Right? You get that thing, it's the will of God. How about Abraham? Abraham wasn't, he's not a happy man climbing up Mount Moriah, but he knew the voice who spoke to him. It was God. Right? It's the one who told him to offer up his son, and what he had to do is accept that as God's will. All right? The Lord Jesus Christ said, hey, not my will, but thine be done. All right? He said, okay, Lord, I'm going to do your will. Joseph, you know, he said, Lord, he told those brethren there, he said, okay, the Lord sent me here into slavery. The Lord had his hand in me being a servant, hated by my brethren, and yet the Lord sent me here. Why? To preserve life. That's what he said. The Lord sent me here to do all this stuff to preserve your life. And he said, yeah, God was in it all the way. Right? They said, what? It's God's will. All right? God even used, you know, his brothers. And you think about them folks there and their hatred for him at that time. And, you know, he accepted all that, folks, as the will of God, bringing those circumstances, things right to where he was, right? And what you want is, okay, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. And after you've prayed and you sought him and you seek him, make sure you're right as you can be, right? And troubles come, right? You kind of check the thing out. Lord, is there something I ain't doing right? Is this the troubles here because of that? Or Lord, is it something else? Okay. And you get all that thing right there. Okay. Lord, help me, give me grace. Amen. And, you concede, right? That is what the Lord wants. Amen. And, Lord, you've given me this plate and I'm gonna take it. And by your grace, give me strength with that. You resign, you surrender to him. Moses, you know what? He spent a lifetime, folks, boy, up and down there not doing what God wanted him to do. And in the end, when he wanted to go into the promised land, you know what the Lord said? No, you can't go in. All right. And Moses had to resign himself, folks, not only to death, but into his calling. All right. He resigned that. So I'm going to say it's the same of Paul. Paul prayed there, Lord, you know what, Lord, I could do so much more if I could just see. Would you please take away this thorn out, you know, and help me with this? He prayed three times. And you know what the Lord said? Don't ask me again. You know, you ain't going to do it. You're more stronger the way you are right now, folk. When you're weak, then you're strong in me. See, Lord, on that thing. So Paul had to resign and surrender in that thing and accept the will of God. What's the will of God in your life? Do you accept that? I mean, God brought that thing in there. You sure on that thing right on there? So that's something that's going to help you in troubles. Then lastly, I want to say some things about this. You need to stay on the wheel and in the fire. When the trouble comes and the fire's burning and you're on the wheel, you need to stay on it by the grace of God. The potter's wheel there is found in Jeremiah chapter 18. And you realize, you get the picture there, that as a Christian, we're just a vessel of the Lord. And what he does is he puts you on a potter's wheel, right? You're on the wheel. And he forms you and he makes you. He does all those kind of things on that wheel. And he can do with that vessel whatever he pleases, right? And you still realize that even us going through those things like that, we're his. We've got the promises, right? Those promises are irrevocable. They can't be taken away. Eternal security and all that. But as far as that vessel and folks, what he molds and what he's trying to get out of you and form character in you, can I tell you, he can do whatever he wants to with that vessel. He can do whatever he wants to with us, right? You know, it's the vessel's job then. It's your and my job to stay on the wheel and let him work on us, right? That's the best way to do it. Let God have his will. Say, okay, Lord, you work on me, right? You got the fire to go through, right? And that fire, Job 23:10 says, when he hath tried me, okay? The Lord's going to try you, Job 23:10. What we have now, folks, is generations, you know, many years of Christians in America. We really haven't gotten a whole lot of tribulation, right? We haven't had to, you know, like some places that go through many wars and all kinds of things for many years now, folks. I tell you, we've been really blessed. I thank God for that. Of course, there's been many men and women who've gone overseas and fought the wars and seen a lot of things I've never had to see or face on that. But I'm going to say this, and you're getting through all those things. This today, whatever you go through today, if that's your D-Day, right? You need to have the attitude and the heart. Okay, Lord, I'm going to go through this thing. Let's go. And again, you don't have to like it necessarily. I didn't choose the things that sometimes God brings in my life. I didn't choose those things. I didn't get the box to check. The Lord didn't say, check what box you want to, you know, trial and tribulation you want to go through. Folks, this thing came on you. Many times you're not asking for it. So it may be something the Lord wants you particularly to go through for a specific reason, right? Something he wants you to get a hold of. Look at Job 23:10. And notice that he mentions some of these things. All right, 23:10. Notice what he says there. He says, but he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. All right, when he hath tried me, I shall come. He knows the way, folks. He knows you're going to be tried. And that trying involves, you know what? It involves fire. Fire. Look at Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17. So don't get all tore up out of the frame when you're on the wheel and God's molding you, and then the fire and the trials and the tribulations and the trouble starts coming, right? Folks automatically jump and they say, well, what am I going through this for? You know, why this trouble here, Lord? You know, I've been doing this. Well, you might just be right in the place where God wants you, right? It's going through that thing. Proverbs 17, look at verse 3. The fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. All right. So whether it be your health, where it could be your children, it could be or in your family, or it's the disappointments, or it's the shattered dreams, the plans that you made out that don't turn out right. Can I tell you those things? Is the fire God is putting you through? And you know what you're made to do with that? You and I are made to praise the Lord, right? We're made to praise the Lord with that. and change to what he wants us to change to. I'll look at Proverbs chapter 25. And I don't profess to have that down every time. Usually I have to, you know, something trial comes up, I've got to, again, get the right set, the mindset and the heart. Proverbs 25:4. He says, take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer, right? So what the fire does, it takes the dross out, right? Silver, the gold, and God's going to have you as a vessel, right, that he can use. Proverbs 27, look at verse 21. Proverbs 27, 21. As the fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. Now, all right, so you got this fining pot. The fining pot is made to be put into the fire, right? It's got a pot, you put the gold, the silver in there, it's going to be put in the fire. Why? It's going to refine it. Okay, it's going to take the dross out. It must be put into that fire, and it refines the gold. But a man, you know what, Christian, a man is made to praise God, all right? And you do that, it's going to take fire that you're going through that's going to make you pure and refine you on that. That the gold isn't pure coming straight out of the ground, is it? It's not pure. What's going to have the fire, the refining fires on that. So the best way to be, folks, I can just tell you, is to be tender, be responsive to God's dealings on that. You look at us Christians here in America, we're awful spoiled. I'm spoiled, I'll tell you that right now. And I know it probably have to be a lot more burning in fire for me to get refined. There's so much other junk in there. I know this verse, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found under the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Okay? So there's some things that when you go through the troubles come, right? You need to let the Lord lead and guide you through that, and so he can get the praise. The Lord puts a lot on patience, doesn't he? Right? So while he's refining us, while he's working on you, it's your job, can I just remind you, to stay on the potter's wheel, all right? And stay in the fire. Stay in the fire. Let God work on you. That's the natural thing, of course, is to pull out, to get away from what hurts. But don't forget Job, you know, and what he went through. Folks, he got all his kids back. He went through the whole thing. He stayed in that fire. Abraham, he stayed in the fire, and he was known as the friend of God. Peter, he got through there in Pentecost. God used him. Souls got saved. He stayed in the fire. David, he did a lot of horrible things in his life. He committed some bad sins and stuff. But folks, you know what? The Lord got him through. Lord got him through it. Amen. He's still the sweet psalmist of Israel. So stay on the potter's wheel. Okay. Joseph gets into Egypt. He gets sold, hated, lied about, forgotten, yet he comes out, folks, as one of the greatest types. You're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. So the admonitions, we're talking about troubles. Stay in the fire. When the trouble comes, right? Let God work on you. What to do when you get in trouble? Well, confirm your treasures, personally seek God's face, do the right thing, do the next thing, accept the will of God, and stay on the potter's wheel and in the fire till the Lord gets through with it, right? Amen. All right, folks, let's pray. Father, thank you for your mercies tonight. Thank you for the word of God. I pray you'd give some help tonight to the saints here that have come, maybe going through some trials right now. Maybe they're going through a lot of troubles. And Lord, I pray you'd give them grace. I pray you'd give them strength and help them, to do the right thing. And Lord, that's going to bring you glory and honor. And we'll thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, folks, God bless you.